Hi, I'm Tara Lynn of Geek Saga Entertainment, here with my co-host Manny for the Geek Saga Show series, The Media That Made Us. This series focuses on media that the two of us consumed in our younger or maybe even just slightly younger years, media that helped shape our current interests and that we still love.
So I'm Manny, and for our sixth Media That Made Us episode, we're continuing our coverage of the reimagined Battlestar Galactica series and discussing the TV movie Razor, which despite airing between seasons 3 and 4, pretty much sits between season 2, episodes 17 and 18 timeline-wise.
Yeah, and weirdly enough, when I was trying to figure out where to place this after we realized we couldn't place it in our Pegasus Arc episode, everything that kept coming up was like, this was a direct-to-TVD movie. That is not the case. The actual Battlestar Wiki, the main Battlestar Wiki, says this is a direct-to-DVD movie. It was not. What it was, it aired on TV, and the DVD for the movie was released like 4 days later or something. Yep. So I don't feel super awful about the fact that we're recording this ahead of time, unlike our usual Media That Made Us episodes. We are recording this immediately after we recorded our Perfidy Arc episode, which was episode 5. Again, I am still sick. Please excuse if I'm like a little bit off timing-wise or just like not totally on par. It's because I'm not feeling all that great and life is what it is. Before we get started, just a heads up that you can follow me and therefore all of the Geek Saga endeavors at A Geek Saga on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Twitter, and YouTube.
And you can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Benissimo Art.
Last but hopefully not least, we hope that you'll check out the Geek Saga Entertainment Patreon. We have 10 tiers that range from $1 to $40 a month. It's a great way to support us and receive some great perks in return. You get early access to all of our podcast episodes, be they podcast versions of live episodes like these. Well, that's not even true. If you are a Patreon, you are getting early access to this not live episode that is airing at our usual live time. Yes. And you'll also get early access to the podcast version of this episode and also early access to all of our podcast only apps, plus some other fun things. Check it out at patreon.com/geeksaga_entertainment.
Our format for these episodes includes our top 5 moments that made it, basically our hot takes from the portion of the series we're covering, followed by any insights we've uncovered from rewatches and or being longtime fans.
So as I already kind of mentioned, we went back and forth a lot regarding where to place Razor in these episodes. But in the end, I am glad we decided to let it stand on its own because it was hard to narrow down just these top 5 moments for it. And we begin with a discovery of Gina's. It's like a murder of crows.
Yes.
But a discovery of Gina's. Shaw shooting 6 in the firefight, or shooting A6 in the firefight, and then rushing to reveal that not only do Cylons look like humans now, but also Gina is one of them. And Kane not wanting to, Kane is like, what the fuck? What are you doing? Like, Kane has already just been anti-Shaw. We've already discussed in previous episodes the fact that Shaw did not, like, they're retconning Shaw as a character. But why was that 6 there in all white?
I don't know why they sent their, like, people. So they can't take a beating like the way the, you know, Centurions do. So
I mean, they know they're getting resurrected, but
still, what a mess, man. I gotta go get shot and then I gotta go back to the resurrection thing. Like, it must be a pretty pleasurable experience for how you guys are so willing to do it all the time, you know. What would have been fucking hilarious is that Shaw runs to the fucking CIC and is like, you would not believe this. And then, you know, but she busts into a conversation with Gina telling Kane, oh my gosh, keep my eyes out for my twin sister. I'm so worried about her. Shaw's going to be like, oh yeah, sorry, she got it. Centurion's got her. Man, that sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like my only conclusion is that they were so sure that they would win this firefight that they were like, yeah, whatever, we'll send in our humanoid Cylons. But like, girl is like, she's in like a white dress suit.
Like, yeah, dude, like, you would think that they would at least, you know, arm them or something, you know, give them something. Like,
if not arm them, I don't know. It was just like, again, it was so obviously they had to show the very obvious reason how they knew that Gina Inivier, I can't remember how they pronounce her last name, was a Cylon. But like, this just seems very, why is she all in white?
Look, it's not only that, it's like, why don't you just bring a different Cylon? Because if you guys happen to not succeed...
Like, they know, even if Gina doesn't know she's a Cylon on the ship, which she does, but like, even if she was like a sleeper agent, they know she's there. They have to
know. It's like, oh, we can't blow this person's cover, you know? Like,
send a Sharon, for Christ's sake. Or send someone else. I can't even remember what number she is, but like, send literally any other, a Leoben, we can't meet Deanna yet. But you know, but
send somebody else there. They're like, no, let's put this one here because don't worry about it. I'm pretty sure there's no cameras all over that ship. It wasn't even like she had to get shot for it to show up. It just had to be like the security guy being like, hey, wait a minute. What the fuck is Gina's twin sister doing there?
Obviously, they're not watching the security cameras during this giant firefight, but like...
But they would have to be, though. If the ship is getting boarded, they would have to know exactly where the Cylons are and where they're moving, right? I mean, they would have to. And some guy was asleep for that one, or the cameras just weren't that great. You know, they're just like, I don't know, looks like a girl. I mean, the haircut looks totally different, so it can't be the same person, you know?
She's got platinum blonde hair, not dirty blonde hair.
Exactly. Like, listen. You know what it is, but you know what it is, though, right? I'm going to tell you what it is.
The glasses.
It's the glasses, because Gina wears glasses. And then
sometimes, not all the time.
Not all the time, but she's like, no.
And she also wears, like, worker bee clothes. Like, this like shorter hair, platinum blonde.
But somebody would have to have been like, hey, dude, look, either there's another Gina on here or Gina had a midlife crisis because she went completely platinum blonde. She cut her hair and that jacket she's wearing, I swear it looks like Prada or something, because that is not your typical salary person who works here's kind of jacket.
That is a random thing we forgot to talk about in the last episode. It's the fucking clothes. Dude. we'll get into it eventually, but just... FYI, Manny and I, like, when I first started rewatching the BSG season 2 episodes for our episode 5 coverage, the first episode is like Roslyn, you know, on Caprica. And I was like, what the fuck is up with her like weird jacket? And like, then she takes it off. Everything about the doctor that she sees, the lapel of his doctor's coat is like pleather. Stop trying to make it different. Like, Six's clothes, also Head Six's clothes, or I hate her clothes. But anyway.
Really? You hate her clothes? You've never mentioned that before.
No, never.
Never.
Okay. So are we done with the discovery of Gina's? I think.
Yeah, there wasn't much to that one. It was just, hey, it's like, you know, the three Spider-Man.
Why are you this dumb? Other,
you know, like, hey, you're me, I'm you. Hey, wait a minute. Shoot her. No, shoot me. You know, like.
That goes into our second.
Our second top moment. As much as we hate what this leads to, is Kane's order that Gina Six be tortured. Look, we talked about the torture and its real world connotations quite a bit in episode 4, but it really hits different in Razor. Outright hearing Kane tell the torturer pain, degradation, fear, shame, I really want you to test its limits. Be as creative as you feel you need to be. How fucked up is that shit? It's really a testimony to like Admiral Kane's personality. It's not because she's a Cylon. It's because she got tricked and she got fooled, right? Because she values loyalty above anything else. She got hurt is what happened. And now she's going to make Gina fucking feel the pain, dude.
Yeah, but she makes loyalty dirty.
She makes it dirty. It's dirty loyalty. Exactly. It's fucking dirty loyalty. Because it's loyalty through fucking fear. It's not loyalty, because they're a great person. Everyone is loyal to Admiral Adama because he fucking deserves that fucking loyalty. Mm-hmm. He absolutely deserves it. Admiral Kane gets it regardless. You know, she doesn't even get fucking loyalty. She takes loyalty. There's a big fucking difference.
Insists upon it, enforces it.
Enforces it. Exactly, dude.
How do we feel about Gina Six's reaction to this order? Because in my opinion, I would have expected her to like straighten up and face it with a sort of bland, like, do your best assholes sort of like expression. Just based on what we had previously seen from Head Six and even from Shelley Godfrey.
Mm-hmm.
But she does in fact look scared. Obviously, that's the human reaction to hearing somebody say like, yeah, fuck it up. But oh my God, I don't know. I would have expected her to try to like steel herself, and she really doesn't.
No, she really just kind of gets scared and becomes the victim when the other Cylons really aren't, right? Like, try that shit with fucking Sharon and watch what fucking happens.
And they did.
And they fucking did, right? You know, but she was more of like a fucking badass. But, and you're right, compared to, you know, Shelly. And Head Six really is a different Six. So we got to really think about that. She's really something completely different. But even with like fucking Shelly was more fucking tough about it and whatever. But yeah, so her reaction, it felt a little off, but I feel like it was the mechanism to kind of like show how bad
she knew it was gonna be.
Yeah, like it's fucking bad, right, dude? You know, and also, how do Cylons, like, I guess another question I would have to is, how do they not self-terminate? I would assume that they would have something built into them. Even people that we send out as spies have fucking cyanide pills in their teeth or whatever the fuck, so they can kill themselves so they don't get captured. So this was like a kind of a weird, but again, it's part of the TV, you know, movie. Mm-hmm. We just have to sit there and eat it. I can't reason too much with it. Let's not forget that they are in a big metal ship somewhere in fucking space. Okay. So,
and also this whole movie is retconning like a bunch of stuff. And I'm not saying I dislike it. I Razor is fucking great. It is a beautiful piece of film, television,
it's good,
whatever you want to call it. But mm-hmm. I just wish it hadn't retconned as much as it did.
Yeah, I wish they didn't bring in Shaw into it. I liked her as a character. I liked the actress. Loved her. I thought she was fantastic, you know, but I was like, they really should have used her for future stuff, you know, and like brought her in and kind of kept her on the show running moving forward as opposed to just the actual TV movie.
Interesting.
This is one of those things that I feel, so it's no secret to people in my circle how much I hate Battlestar Galactica, the plan. I hate the fucking plan. I fucking hated that cash grab so much because there's certain things that I don't want to know. Again, right? When we talked about when we do our House of the Dragon stuff, right? It's like, I like leaving it to my own imagination, which is why I hated the plan so much. But this is one of those rare cases where I felt like them doing some of the backstories of little tidbits that we got, I feel like actually worked, where it was like, oh shit, that was fucking cool.
Yeah.
So I felt like they did good with this, but it definitely wrote a line on there where I'm like, yeah, I don't know, but it was enjoyable and I did like it.
Well, next up, it's another ugh, we hate to include this, but moment, that being Shaw, Fisk et al. Murdering the civilians. This is part of the whole retconning thing because okay, this whole scene is just ugly. We already knew it happened, and I know why they had to show it, but still, big icks. But again, as we've been talking about retconning, and as I mentioned in our fourth Media That Made Us episode on the Pegasus arc, it was described differently by Fisk when he told Ty what happened. Again, granted, they retconned Shaw into the whole situation, so fine, whatever, I guess, in a way, but still, it's only been a couple weeks since we did that episode. I can't remember exactly how Fisk described it, but it certainly wasn't that they, I think he said that they threatened them and then they like, it was just like a mass murder or they put them up against a wall or something. But in Razor, Shaw just starts it by shooting a child first, a child. And we're supposed to like feel for this character, because like at first I was feeling for her, and I'll get into why in my insights later, but like at this point, no girl.
And funny enough, watching Razor is what made me really like Fisk, because it was cool that they showed it. And this is one of those instances where it's like, I liked that they did this movie and that they showed the stuff, because when Fisk is talking to Ty, it really gives you the like feeling that, well, Fisk may just be full of shit. They really did a good job, the actor who played him, that he really portrayed that as like, because then he laughs afterwards and you're just like, oh, okay, yeah. You know, he's like, he's
No, this didn't actually happen, but Ty totally knows that it did. And I almost, I almost wondered in that moment in those episodes if Fisk was laughing because he was like, who's watching me right now?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, so, I trust this guy, but
See, and like what I liked about Fisk in the past episode that we had done before, when those other soldiers go in there and they beat the tar out of, you know, Hilo and the chief, the way Fisk walks in there was so authoritative, you know, and he's just like, what rank are they? What rank are you? You know, and the way he intimidates the shit out of these fucking people and kicks them out, it was awesome. You know, and I love that. And then you can kind of see where that in this episode where he's on that ship and he pulls his gun out and he's just trying to intimidate. That's all he's doing. He's just trying to fucking intimidate. And then Shaw comes out of left field and just goes full fucking measure and just shoots a fucking child, you know, and it's like, dude. And I like that because you look at the look on his fucking face when she does that.
This just brings back from episode 5 when we were the perfidy arc. Fisk was done fucking dirty.
Yeah, he was done dirty. He was with fucking done dirty.
Yeah.
Because he was a good fucking guy, man. And like, you see the look on his face.
Well, I don't know about good, but he was certainly like not, in terms of Battlestar Galactica,
he was
on the lighter side of gray. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he was definitely gray. But out of all of the characters we've encountered here, you know, like he's not... You know what I'm saying? You can tell he's just someone who's just been thrusted into this bullshit.
If you're only comparing him to Pegasus characters, he is like white.
That's how I'm looking at him. Because the Pegasus, like I mentioned before, the Pegasus is fucking cursed. Anybody who came off of that ship is fucking cursed. That's just how it is. So yeah, compare it to him amongst those people. Yeah, absolutely. He was the white knight of the fucking Pegasus.
This one is going to be a short one, but also our last two top moments, I think, are the most involved. So number 4. Yeah.
Shaw taking part in that horrible situation pretty much leads right into the decision that is our 4th top moment. One that's inclusion shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. Shaw's sacrifice.
It shouldn't have been surprising that Shaw, as a character who, as we talked about in episode 4, doesn't even go here.
Exactly. It doesn't even go here.
I mean, wasn't even talked about in the Pegasus episodes. And who also, as we just talked about, did some really shitty things, refuses to let Starbuck, of all people, be the one to sacrifice herself to die in order to destroy this base star full of Cylon science experiments.
I don't know why they just couldn't just plant the bomb there and just leave.
Because, like, there was that whole thing between Apollo and Adama where Adama was like, I'm going to let you handle this. And he was like, wait, no, belay your order. You can't just destroy it.
Yeah.
There's people on there. And then they get back in contact with Starbuck and everybody who has infiltrated this base star. And they still have the nuke and everything. And it's like, wait a minute. So Lee could have destroyed that base star from afar. And Adama was like, belay that order. I don't want to sacrifice any more people. We might get into this more in like our general like thoughts about the insights on this episode. But like, so wait. wait a second. Why did Shaw? I mean, we know why Shaw needed to sacrifice herself. Okay. Like she could not.
Logistically, yes.
Logistically, she could not continue. No. Logistically, this girl could not have continued on. The fleet. But at the same time, it's like, if they can destroy it from afar when they still have people on it, maybe we missed something entirely and there's like some sort of weird timing thing.
It's possible.
I think that's like really, I don't know if we're being nitpicky or if like they're being nitpicky.
Look, it doesn't make any sense. It's like,
no,
we can just shoot it from, just come back and we'll just shoot miss. No, I have to do this. You know, it's like she's just going full fucking like main character for a minute, you know, like no, I have to do it. I have to sacrifice myself.
I mean, yes, Shaw has to have main character energy in Razor because this is the only thing
It's the only thing she's going to do. Yeah, we got to give her that at least. Like, okay, look, man, just take it because you're dead soon.
And listen, this sounds like we're shitting on Shaw or on Razor. And I'm not.
No.
I'm really not. Good. I just think it was a really weird fucking thing where Apollo was like, I'm going to destroy this base star from afar. And Adama is like, we have people on there. Belay that order. Even after he was like, oh, this is your command. Yep. I'm going to destroy this base star even though we have people on there. Adama, no. Don't destroy this base star. I'm not willing to sacrifice people yet. Apollo, fuck. you told me I was in charge. And then like, yep, it comes down to it. And when it comes down to like the decision of like, oh, well, they're still alive. They got in contact with us. They're still alive. They have the nuke. And Adama's like, oh yeah, it's your decision again. It's very, I don't like it. And especially, it makes no sense. If Apollo could have destroyed the Baystar from afar, why couldn't they have brought everyone back and then, yep, destroyed the Baystar from afar? I hate it. I hate it so much. It makes no sense.
No, it makes zero sense. Look, at that point, Shaw killed a kid. So as far as I was concerned, I was like, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, do it. Just do it.
She needed
Starbuck,
to go.
Yeah, exactly. Starbuck, you can come back, right? You can come back because you didn't kill a kid. You can come back. But Shaw, you got to stay and you have to die because you killed a kid. Sorry.
I mean, even beyond that, it's like, if somebody's going to have to stay, it's certainly not going to be Starbuck.
No.
Shaw had main character energy for this one thing. She didn't even exist on the Pegasus previously. I like Razor. I think it shows a lot of great things. I actually have some insights that I want to get into on this, but this anyway.
Okay, so before we move on, this is the thing that I didn't like about Shaw, is that Battlestar Galactica did a great job on having these kind of secondary characters that nobody paid attention to become something later, to where it's like, oh no, now this person is this. Gosh, who was it? There was like deckhands and stuff like that who worked with the chief, who eventually became bigger characters later on. It's like, why didn't you just use some rando who was in the Pegasus episodes and say, let's focus on this actor or this actress,
yeah,
and let's use her as this. And it would have made it better, you know, honestly. And not that I have a problem with the Shaw character, the actress. She was fantastic. I don't know, man. Just don't retcon. I have other thoughts about it later.
Oh yeah, you and I both do. But before we get into those, our final top moment from Razor is the hybrid's pronouncement, of course. I'm not going to recite all of the hybrid's babblings.
Yeah.
But I do think it's important to note that they essentially prophesied the colonization of New Caprica and the failure of that colonization, the activation of four of the five Cylons, presumably the whole Starbuck and Leoben thing that happens on New Caprica, though some fans insist this prophecy was about Ty and Caprica 6. Again, I'm not going to get into wording. I actually asked Dean about this and he was like, no, it was definitely Starbuck and Leoben. The alliance between the Colonial Fleet and the Rebel Cylons, the revelation that Ellen Ty is the last of the final five and her eventual redemption of sorts, the civil war among the Cylon models, and their eventual arrival to Earth with Starbuck's help. Yeah. But speaking of Starbuck, the hybrid outright telling Shaw that Kara Thrace is the harbinger of the apocalypse. But also, like, why and what the fuck? Why tell Shaw that when the Cylons then jam the comms before Shaw can relay that information to Apollo? We all know it's, well, we assume it's bullshit, but why tell Shaw that? And then she, in her like last moments, she tries to call Pegasus Galactica, whatever, and they jam it. And it's like, you could have sowed more discord there if you'd allowed that message to go through. I don't get it.
I think it's just because they knew that we were watching the movie. So they just told it for us is what it was. They didn't want the people who are actually on the Battlestar Galactica to get spoiled by what happens later in the seasons. So they just let us know.
It also could be that, I guess, Starbuck seemingly dies in season 3 and Razor, despite the timing of Razor being for the most part between episodes 17 and 18 of season 2, it was not actually released until between the end of season 3 and the beginning of season 4.
Which is really a weird place to put it because it's way after the fact at this point.
Yeah.
Which is kind of strange. You know, like I understand they wanted to focus on like the webisodes in between season 2 and season 3, which was fantastic. But yeah, to put Razor all the way out there.
Yeah, it was a fuck ton of retconning. And also at that point, we already had seen Starbuck die and come back. It's very
well. It was almost like they were retconning their own prophecies, you know, and it's like kind of doing that stuff. Oh, well, somebody knew these kind of things or whatever. And look, I'm going to be honest with you, man. It's like the second these things started dropping prophecy, I just didn't care anymore. I was like, you know what? I know Patrick. I know Patrick.
I was going to say, I wonder if Patrick Patrick has watched Battlestar. For anyone watching or listening to this, Patrick is one of our regular guests on our House of the Dragon, our Hot Tea Take series, and Patrick loves some prophecies.
Yeah, my boy loves some prophecies.
He would love these prophecies.
He would love them. He would love this show just for the prophecies, man. And I just, these things started saying this stuff, and then it was just like, no. And it was dumb because, you know what? We should just bring up the prophecies later at the end of the fucking series. So that way, that is when I can take a huge shit all over it, as opposed to now.
I'm sure the prophecies will come up again. Now I'm just going to talk about some insights that we've gleaned from being longtime fans. But as I keep mentioning while we're covering this show, I'm going to refer to any Easter eggs or bloopers that I mention as Dean's Lance, because my partner Dean knows far more about the series than I do. And won't stop pointing that out to me, which means I've long ago lost track of what I knew before him. The only one Dean had from Razor was, despite Aaron Douglas being credited, Chief isn't in Razor at all. What makes this extra odd is that they got a Cylon Raider onto the Galactica and Chief just like wasn't there to examine it. Weird AF. All right, what's your first insight?
My first insight has to do with when the Pegasus started stripping these other ships, right? It was mentioned that they had lost, how many people did they lose? Like 700 or something like that. They lost some astronomical amount of people.
Yeah.
So why not take some of these ships? Some of these ships didn't have a lot of people at all that they were taking, that they were stripping them. It's like, why leave them to die? Why don't you just bring them with you? They can serve some fucking purpose. You know, even if you're worried about like what purpose they're going to serve, they can do something, man. And it's having more people. You can train them. You can train them to fight. You can train them to use your computer systems. You can train them to like do these things. But instead it's just like, oh no, we're just going to just fucking leave them here to die. And leaving them there to die, I'm sorry, it's just cowardly. Why don't you just put a bullet in their head like the way Shaw did that kid, you know, and just fucking shoot the rest of them instead of leaving them there with no fucking shit. Why don't you take their oxygen machines too while you're at it? Just watch them fucking suffocate. So that's like the point of where the decision making for like Admiral Kane was just like, you know what, dude, like this is where I felt it kind of, it was kind of like a disconnect.
Yeah.
Because it was like,
thanks. Yeah.
Because when they did her the first time, there was a lot of, I don't know, ambiguity or something to where you just kind of didn't know where she was coming from. But in this one, I'm just like, dude, you're just a straight up coward. Because if it would have been me, I'm not going to leave these people at the hands of the Cylons. Who knows what Cylons are going to do to them. I mean, me personally, I would have just taken them with me. And if we got to put them all in a fucking cargo bay for right now until we figure it out, we'll put them all in a fucking cargo bay until we figure it out. It's better to have more fucking people. But she's like, no, we're just going to strip them of their parts and just leave them there to die. It's like, well, why are you being a coward? Why don't you just kill them yourself? Push everyone out the airlock or whatever. Like, don't be a coward. Like, if you're going to be a monster, be a fucking monster. But don't do these things and just like leave them there. But again, the reasoning there just didn't make sense to me. You could always bring them on board, you know, and have them do something.
I mean, like you said, they lost so many people. And while the children might not be able to help with certain things, it's like, all these other people could do something and you can train them to do something. Look at how many pilots they trained on Battlestar Galactica that came from like nothing, essentially.
Exactly. Yeah, they came from nothing and they became something. They became great pilots. Everyone that they had trained became great fucking pilots. Well, it's like
maybe not everyone. Some of them just died.
Okay, the ones that survived became great pilots, but at least they tell you, look, you know, you want to make an omelet, right? You want to make an omelet? You got to bring a few eggs, right?
So my first insight is not as deep and dark as yours. Shaw, when she first meets Gina, points out that Gina's last name, Inivier, is old Geminese for resurrection. How on the nose. But also, I gotta say this, in the closed captions, it said old Germanese.
Old Germanese.
It's like, wait, what? I went back and I played the thing, and it was because Shaw has that like New Zealand, the actress has that New Zealand accent.
Yep.
And I was like, old Germanese? Wait, how do they have Germany in this series?
It's like, what?
Oh, no, wait. It's just because the closed captioners didn't understand that she was saying old Germany. Oh, my God. Sorry. I'm sorry. It was hilarious.
No, that was good, though. That was good.
Okay.
What does old Germany sound like?
Old Germany is Germanic languages.
Germanic language, yeah. Like, you know, like, wow. It's like
we're all from Earth.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. What's your next insight?
Okay. So again, going back to the dark, I guess. Do they not do psych evaluations in the fleet? Because I'm pretty sure they do that for, like, you know, people in the upper they management areas. Do. Kane clearly has some monsters. I'm pretty good about sitting in front of somebody and talking to them for 5 minutes and be able to get a good read on them. With Admiral Kane, it probably took me about 5 seconds. And I was like, oh no, this girl is nuts. She is fucking crazy, I can tell you. Nobody else saw that? So when she's ordering people to line other people in the bulkheads and shoot them or shoots her XO and everyone's surprised, I'd be like, all right, did that surprise you?
How did she even get to be an admiral of one of the newest, biggest battle stars?
Yeah, exactly. There has to be some type of balance between fucking, okay, I'm a rough and tough badass, or just, hey, I'm a good fucking leader. And she wasn't a good leader. Let's face it, in the end, she just wasn't. She was just, she was a tough as nails person. Absolutely. She knew how to survive, sure, but she knew how to survive on the backs of others, not for the sake of actual, like, fucking survival. She does some things that I get that I'm like, sure, strip the ships. Strip the ships because you need to do it. You're the last remaining Battlestar, but let's leave the people there. That's where I'm like, no. Nope. And she really loves to pull that fucking trigger, dude. It's like wartime. So she is literally like six shooters, just pow, pow, pow. Who else doesn't want to obey my, did you flush the toilet? Did you put the toilet seat down? Pow, 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 you know? And like, she's making room where all these civilians could have come in, right? Because she's just sitting there killing her bridge crew or doing whatever. And he's like,
however many hundreds of people on her ship already died.
Exactly. And it's like, how many did she kill now? And how many did the Cylon kill? Like, is she in a competition now? She's just that stubborn. She's like, well, I'm going to be in a competition. No one's going to kill more people of my crew than the Cylons are. I'm going to do it. You know?
Okay. So this is, like, in a way, a little bit piggybacking on that. But when the first attack happens and there's an explosion in the side of the ship, and Shaw is, like, clearly fucking concussed, bleeding from her head. And Kane comes around and smacks Shaw upside the head when she's laying there, clearly concussed after being tossed around by this explosion. Yeah. Yet then, like, Hoshi, whoever the fuck Hoshi was, one of her main people, he's, like, clearly face down dead on the ground. She's like, Hoshi. She just, like, nudges him. Yeah. With her hand, but she's smacking this clearly concussed woman around. And it's like, girl, do you know nothing about medicine? She's bleeding from her head. Probably don't smack her around and be like, get up. And then, like, the dead guy on the floor, you're like, are you okay?
Oh, no.
What the fuck is happening there?
Really, she should have been over Hoshi, like, smacking him and be like, get up, you little bitch. Put your fucking big boy pants on. It's time to get to work.
Slumps his body
over the fucking CIC. Like, here you go, man. Come on. Touch those buttons. Let's do this. Let's kill some more bridge people. Let's keep going.
And also, how do you not have enough knowledge to know that somebody who has been, like, affected viscerally by an explosion and is bleeding from the head should not, I don't know, be smacked in the head? No wonder Shaw fucking shot those people. It's because she got smacked. Okay, exactly, that's listen, let's not make excuses for Shaw. I say the thing, and then I'm like, no, I'm not making excuses.
No, okay. Yeah.
Your last thing actually is way later in the episode. So I'm just going to go through my last two insights. First of all, there's no discussion needed. 99 bottles of Ambrosia on the wall simply does not work. This is from in Razor. It's from the current timeline. I think it's Starbuck. That's like 99 bottles of Ambrosia on the wall. And I'm like, 99 bottles of Ambrosia? No.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
It has to be one syllable. You don't have beer in this universe?
Yeah, dude. Like, no one has beer. Like, come on, bro.
Or something that you could say that's not three syllables, that's one syllable. I don't know. Whatever. It was dumb. Stop trying to make real world shit happen.
Yeah, exactly.
My last insight, and this is a very fucking personal one for me. Mm-hmm. Wow. I don't care that she was a preteen. Kane leaving her sister behind when running from the Centurions in the first Cylon War. I would never, when I was like, granted, I was older. I was like 25 or 20. I think I was 25. I literally almost drowned trying to save my sister from a riptide. A riptide is something you cannot help. all I was doing is like, I know how to deal with a riptide because I was trained as a lifeguard. We still almost drowned. I would have never, ever, ever been able to let go of her. My life would have been over. I would have never forgiven myself for that. And Helena Kane in this flashback is old enough. She's like 12 or something. She just runs away from, she's like, come on, come on, come on. You are old enough and big enough. Pick up your little sister and bring her with you.
And the thing is here is that
I have so much anger about this.
Yeah, no, and I get that. It's like this would make sense for her character if Razor wasn't about the shit that it was and Admiral Kane wasn't the way she was. If Admiral Kane was more like, no, we never leave anyone behind. We're taking everyone with us. Then it would have been like, okay, so she made a mistake when she was young and now she's like kind of paying penance for it as she gets older. And now she's like, yeah, we need the parts for the ship, but everyone is coming with us. There is always going to be, we're never leaving one fucking person behind. I don't care if it's one fucking person. And maybe she puts the Pegasus at risk to save one fucking person, just like the Galactica did. Maybe yep. they do those. Then to me, that arc would make fucking sense. But to me, I saw that and I was like, okay, so you're ready to leave your sister there. So instead of doing the natural evolution of like, okay, well, this is who I am now. She's like, oh no, actually it worked great for me. So now I'm just going to leave everybody behind. That's great. If I can leave my sister behind, shit, I can leave a stranger behind, or we can shoot another kid in the face. Who fucking cares? And again, this is just one of those things that I wish they didn't include into it because it took away from the Admiral Kane character.
I felt like they were trying to make us feel bad for her, but instead it made me feel no.
It made me hate her because it was like, oh, this is even worse. Maybe if she was the one who was left behind, then she was just damaged. And that's why she does the things here. Okay, that works.
Yeah.
Or maybe she's like, I had no choice but to leave her behind. And I feel so guilty that now everything I do is saving everyone possible. And maybe the people around her are like, hey, we can't save everyone. And she's like, no, fuck you. And shoots that guy in the face. We're saving everybody except for that guy who I just shot in the face, you know, but we're saving everybody else. Then it would fucking make sense. But there was like no character development between when she was 12 to where she is now. Come on, dude.
I don't feel bad for her. She is a fucking terrible person from like point A to point Z. Terrible fucking person.
And like I said, look, in situations, everybody reacts differently, right? Everybody has a different like reactionary thing. It just would have made more sense if who her character was in the Pegasus episodes and in Razor was completely different in the sense that she just wasn't willing to leave everyone behind. She's like, I froze when I was a kid and I still live with it. And I regret it to this day because I lost my sister.
Yep.
So I'm never leaving another person behind.
Somehow.
Yeah. So now she's just out, just whatever. We're just going to leave people to fucking die. We're going to leave them.
All right. Your last insight.
My last insight was the hybrids. When they first kind of hit the scene, I wasn't totally crazy about it because I was like, I don't know. But then I was like, no, it kind of makes sense because clearly they've been trying to join their race with the human race for a long time. And clearly it's like, I mean, open apart, you know, a fucking radio from fucking 1980 and then open a part of radio from today, right? Like there's going to be some analog weird shit going on, which is what was going on with these like hybrids, which I thought was interesting, you know, and you can see it to where it's like, okay, well, it makes sense in the whole scheme of things because that clearly didn't work. So what are they doing? Now they're trying to get the Cylons and humans to have babies. I'm like, okay, well, that clearly works because we saw that work. Okay, that's the next step in their evolution. But again, when they start saying some weird ass fucking shit and they start talking some prophecy shit, your boy just shuts off. Patrick loves it. I don't. And I'm just like, nah, I can't fucking do this shit, right, dude? Because we just spent all this fucking time on the show with the stupid Opera House prophecy. And then when you see the way that turns up, we'll just talk about it when we get there. Literally. Again, with the fucking prophecies that we fucking wasted time on.
I'll be honest, like I get the hybrids being a thing. It makes total sense. It's disgusting. And I hate what they do to humans to try to make it work. I hate. I hate everything about it. But also it makes sense because they were trying to merge their technology with an actual human body. And they clearly figured out something else at this point. And also the hybrids, the fact that they're just like, there's some in there that are just kind of like whatever, and then there's some that are like sentient.
Yeah.
And there was so much pain and like nastiness that went into this, and we'll get into things that happen later. Yeah.
But they but do a good job of that, right? Because even when you see like the hybrids for the first time, you see that stuff, you get that same feeling of when you went to that farm. You see, like, it was that same sensation, you know, when you watched it, it was that that same ick. So yeah, they definitely knew what they were doing with that shit.
Well, yeah, this is the early version of the farm. This is version, I guess, like 1.0. The farm is version 2.0. Mm-hmm. What happens with Hilo and Sharon is version 3.0. And I guess in a way, Ty and Caprica sinks later, also version 3.0. Or maybe that's version 4.0. I don't know. But and also, like we mentioned earlier, the prophecies. Oh, we're gonna prophesy this and this and this and this and this. But then we're going to be like, Kara Thrace is the harbinger of the apocalypse. But guess what? We're not going to let you relay that information to the fleet.
Exactly. It's like, I'm going to tell you the entire plan, and then I'm not going to let you say anything. And then we're just going to blow up. You'll just blow up the ship because you don't have any other choice. You ride left, you know? So that's what's happening. Why are you doing this? Because we want the viewers to still really be entranced into this show. You know, and it's like, look, we already are. We're going to watch it till the end. You know,
well, yeah, especially since Razor actually aired between season 3 and season 4, even though it took place between episodes 17 and 18.
With those TV movies, man, they're just trying to fill in the blanks that they just kind of lightly told for us. And maybe it was a cash grab. Maybe it was just to, like, you know what I'm saying? But it was just like, you guys didn't have to do that stuff.
I mean, I don't think that Razor was so much a crash grab. I don't think Razor was crash so much gab. A cash
crash grab.
I don't think Razor was so much a cash grab because it did air on TV, but like
it did. Yeah, it did.
Still, because I came into this so late, I didn't know that. I assumed Razor, and also even researching these episodes for our discussion,
it's a weird placement.
Yeah.
Very weird placement to
when most of those prophecies had already come true.
Exactly.
Well, any last thoughts?
No.
All right. Before I do our like regular outro, I have had this quote on my ageeksaga.com website for like 10 years or something. And it is actually from Razor. It's from Kendra Shaw. You're born, you live, and you die. There are no do-overs, no second chances to make things right if you frack them up the first time. Not in this life anyway. Like I said, you make your choices and you live with them. And in the end, you are those choices.
That's good.
I mean, honestly, Kendra Shaw, great character. I wish it hadn't been a weirdly retcon thing.
She should have been a new character that they introduced sometime in season 3, maybe, or maybe even in season 2. And she should have wrote it out to the end. And I think she would have been a good person to have there the entire fucking time.
Certainly in our weird, like, perfidy arc episodes where we're just like, what the fuck is going on? This everything is all everything everywhere all at once with those episodes.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. As we close out the episode, just want to give a shout out to our heroes, to your patron, Tommy of the TKOK Podcast Network. Thank you so much for supporting us. And thank you for joining us for our 6th Media That Made Us episode on the BSG TV movie, Razor. We will be back Wednesday, November 20th to cover the final 3 episodes of BSG Season 2. For the most current news and updates about the series, make sure to follow at A Geek Saga on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Twitter, and YouTube. But also, please consider backing our Patreon at patreon.com/geeksaga_entertainment.
Thank you for listening to the Geek Saga podcast. If you like what you heard, please check out other Geek Saga entertainment endeavors, including the Sagas and Sass webcast and podcast, and Ice and Fire Con.